Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
There ain't nothing wrong with this old house.
It just needs somebody who knows what they're doing to work on it. Not you, but we're glad you tried. Because you're writing stories to us now.
You can't call that a flip.
All right. You tried to remodel it. You were just going to take care of it. One guy almost sawed his friend's hand off yesterday with a chainsaw. But that was just
that
a
guy
poor...
went back to work.
But that was a poor idea on everybody's part there. That wasn't just the guy with the chainsaw who had a bad idea. His buddy who was working with him saw what was going on.
When his chainsaw got stuck.
Right.
So. Oh, we've got a few how could you not know things this morning.
Okay. All right. So if you've got a story, send it to us. Go to 1029thehog.com, but send it to us quickly because tomorrow is the final round of these stories.
We'll check them before we leave today because, you know, there's Olympics on. And
yeah, right. We have other things to do. We don't have all day.
Maybe have time tomorrow morning when I get here, but yeah. This
is, but you can read them during Bodie Miller.
Sure, yeah.
Because he's horrible.
All right. Here we go.
But you'd miss. If Brian reads your story, you're in the running for the grand prize. It's $1,000 in prizes from Steinhoffels and Horner Plumbing.
There we go. I was nearing the end of rough framing my basement with 2x4s and supplies were getting short. Also, I was anxious to finish and move on to the next step. Of course, these are always elements of a successful end to any project. As luck would have it, I started bending nails in the stud wall, getting more and more frustrated. Cursing, I bent over the wall, which was laying on the ground, and yanked back hard on the nail. The nail remained where it was, but the head of the nail broke off. My grip was such that I punched myself squarely in the face and saw stars. The worst part was explaining to everyone how I got that black eye. That's just an hors d'oeuvre. That's just a warm-up. This is a different kind of thing and goes to how could you not know, but here we go.
A lot of that.
A few years ago, our friends bought a house and wanted help painting. I love to paint, so my husband and I volunteered our services. We get there, have dinner, and begin painting. I started painting the bathroom with no real ventilation and finished it in 2 hours. It was late, and so we decided I would come back the next day and help finish the other rooms. Next day, I head over, and I'm feeling a little nauseous. Thinking nothing of it, I have lunch with my friends and start painting. I then stop after a few minutes and go vomit.
Oh, boy.
Thinking that it was the food and nothing else, I go back to painting only to throw up again. I decided to go home and travel the 30 minutes back to my place while trying to stay conscious on the highway. I got home and passed out for a few hours.
Yikes.
For a few hours. Not for a few minutes, a few hours.
Realized later that they had been using latex paint, and being allergic to latex, my body was desperately trying to get rid of the fumes I inhaled. But wouldn't you check? Is this latex paint?
I have a latex. If you're painting, they ask you to paint.
If she knows that, right? And she right. Yeah. And who doesn't use? Everybody uses latex now, right?
Yeah. I now make sure when I volunteer my painting services that they have non-latex paint or I have a ventilator mask. So
there you go.
Okay. Something to check.
All right. Could have ended worse.
All right, here
they
we go.
They buried me 3 days later.
Right, yeah. After what? I took out 9 on the freeway.
When we bought our home, we found about 100 feet of beautiful hedges. My husband suggested we take some out, but I would have none of it. I have now come to despise the hundreds of feet of hedges over 15 years of trimming them twice a year later. We used an electric trimmer that we'd take turns running every spring and fall. I was trimming the hedges one spring when I swung the trimmer back with one hand while pulling the extension cord out of the way with the other.
Yep.
The art of which I thought I had mastered. I should mention my husband and I had a running tally of who had cut through the most cords.
Yep.
My husband now being a master at splicing sections of cut cords together to make new extension cords. Pop! The trimmer went right through the cord and directly into my glove.
Ooh.
And my index finger. My glove was soaked with blood, but I was happy to see the tip of my finger was still attached. I figured some crazy glue, a Band-Aid, and I'd get right back to finishing the 1,000 feet of hedges still left. That's when my husband pointed out you could see the bone and I should probably go for more stitches.
Yeah.
few stitches later for me. My husband had to finish trimming. We have gotten a gas trimmer since.
I was going to say, Milwaukee Tools, I think, makes a great battery-powered trimmer.
Which I am not allowed to use.
You're not, well, you know, we saw the bone.
Yeah, well, that's a loving husband.
If she hates them, she's out of the gig, so that's great.
A friend of mine owns a cottage on Silver Lake in Leona, Wisconsin. I have been helping him the past couple of years with a complete home remodel. We decided to go up after Christmas this past year and take the week to finish up some flooring and spend the rest of the time snowmobiling.
Okay.
The Wednesday after Christmas, we woke up early to get the flooring done and set up a table saw outside to make our cuts. It was about 12 below zero outside, so I was making quick cuts and getting back inside. One of my final cuts I was making, I was getting a bit weary of the small piece I was cutting and decided, for safety's sake, to turn the saw off while making my cut so as to try to avoid having this piece getting sucked into the blade and either destroying the piece of wood or hurting myself. I have a little bit of a hard time understanding.
Like
He's going to kill the power. Now, I know what the problem is when you kill the power, don't you?
It goes, and then it'll
you get kickback.
Break the,
Yeah.
As I held firmly down on the piece of wood with my right hand, I reached for the power button with my left. In the blink of an eye, as I turned the power off, I heard some noise that to this day I still can't explain. With everything happening in slow motion, I noticed an object flying through the air over my shoulder and falling ever so gently in the concrete patio I was working on. Confused and in shock, I looked down at my hand and discovered a complete mess.
Oh, God.
That was my hand that was flying over my head.
Of which I can only describe that it looked like a bomb went off. I took another look at the ground and figured out the flying object was a finger. I ran inside and told my buddy to call 911. We quickly wrapped my hand and applied a tourniquet to try and slow the massive blood loss. I also asked my friend to run outside and pick up my finger lying on the ground and
where is it?
Get it in some
look,
ice.
Look! It's a finger!
I think it's on the patio.
That's a branch! It's a finger!
I was hoping he would use, my buddy wouldn't lift a finger to help me.
Literally.
I ended up being taken by ambulance to a hospital in Rhinelander and then a helicopter ride from there to Frederick, where I learned I had lost my pinky, severely cut my middle finger in half, which can only be described as it looked like a peeled banana, and sliced the pad of my thumb where your fingerprint is off.
Oof.
Looking back now, in the past 7 weeks, I realize I had a bunch of firsts in my 49 years of life with this accident. One was that the first time I've seen a flying finger.
Hey.
First time I've ever been in a helicopter, which, by the way, cost $62,470. I have no idea how the sightseeing people make in the Dells at that rate. And a first for my friend who had to pick up a finger off the ground, which he would later tell me was kind of frozen to the concrete.
Oh.
Yeah, blood. 12 below. It's going to freeze quickly. But that may have saved his finger as well.
Sure.
Could be. Just a side note here, asking the doctor before going into surgery if I could get back up north the next day to go snowmobiling the rest of the week and celebrate the new year with my friends. We'll have the doctor and all the nurses look at you like you are a complete moron. They just shook their heads and walked away.
Yeah. Don't even answer him.
All right. And...
Wow.
I never saw a flying finger.
Helicopter ride. I've gone on helicopter rides. It wasn't $62,000.
Well, and you didn't need to call insurance.
Does your insurance cover that, or is there going to be,
is that part of your ER ride, like an ambulance ride?
No, here's your share of that ride.
I don't want to find out.
$42,000.
Yeah, I don't want to ever find out.
Right, so. Listen, before you get on, this ride is going to cost. Okay.
Well, thank God. I thought I had such a high deductible, but look, we've met it with the ambulance ride.
Here's my $50 copay for the $62,000 helicopter ride.
Yeah. All right, and this one. My husband Dan and I decided to build a pavilion in our backyard to provide us with some much-needed shade. We bought the kit from a big box store. I say kit in parentheses because it wasn't really a kit. It was all raw wood with some really bad directions on how to cut the wood and assemble it. Well, we persevered, and after a month of cutting, drilling, and discussions about how to do it right, we finally got to the point of putting the shingles on the roof. That part seemed like a no-brainer. Dan had roofed before, so he knew what he was doing. The roof on the pavilion was quite steep. We finished the side that was up against the house with no problem because we could use the house roof to prep and get the material up. Now we're on the home stretch. We just have to finish the other side. The roof is 10 feet high, and we were both on ladders. We put the first strip of tar paper down and stapled it in place. Dan decides he needs to mark the center on the peak, so he steps up onto the tar paper, then takes the second step off the ladder to make his way to the top of the tar paper rips. Oh, and the tar paper rips.
Tar paper rips, yeah.
Dan starts sliding down the roof like he is on a skateboard.
Bob called it. Yep.
A roof, come on, Carrie. What's going to go wrong on a
Gravity.
Roof?
Never sleeps. All I could do is yell his name and watch him fall. As soon as he got to the edge of the roof, he fell backward, landed on his side on top of the ladder, then flopped like a rag doll down to the ground below. I jumped down from my ladder and ran to him. By the time I got to him, he was getting up, hyperventilating.
Oof.
I went to hold him, and he started collapsing in my arms. I couldn't hold him up, so I helped him gently to the ground and yelled out loud, "I'm going to call 911.
I'm going to call 911.
I can still hear. I didn't hit my ears.
You know, when you're going into shock, I've been in shock, and your hearing does go. Mm. You get a big ringing, and you can't really, it sounds like you have pillows over your ears.
So you must be shouted
so
to.
Maybe,
it's a good idea.
Maybe she's not crazy, but I just wanted to.
Make fun of her.
Right.
That's what we're doing here today.
Guy's horribly injured.
Right. And she's trying to help. And we're idiots.
I'm going. Yeah.
I ran into our house to get my phone and started running back out to him, but he was already walking into the house saying, "Don't call 911. What are you doing?" So upset about.
So second time he's up.
I explained to him that he just fell off from the roof and passed out in my arms. He insisted he was fine, and he just needs to walk it off.
Walk it off.
All the while still having trouble breathing.
Oh, God. Remember our friend with the four broken ribs that no one knew he had when he crushed the bird bath?
Yeah.
It's like the end of Private Ryan, Sergeant Horvath. I just got it in the stomach and wind knocked out of me. I say, okay, but I think we should go to the emergency room. He tells me he doesn't need the emergency room, so I decide we are done for the day, and I go outside to start putting the tools away. 15 minutes or so pass since he fell, and Dan comes stumbling outside and says, "I think we need to go to the emergency room."
Oh, did he fall down again?
We jump
in the
car.
Well, what is it, Dan? Do you want me to put things away, or are we going to the emergency room?
Now she's pissed.
We jump in the car. Well, he doesn't jump. He sits gingerly and is still hyperventilating. The hospital is a short 5-minute drive, but I'm sure it felt longer than that to him. We get to the hospital. He refuses the wheelchair. And as we are walking back to the ER room, I hear the intercom, "Severe trauma, room 5, all hands in room 5. As the nurse heads to room 5, I stepped back and let them do their business, but I felt like I was in a TV show. He had at least 7 people doing different things to him all at once. We walked out 9 hours later, but he had a broken rib and a punctured lung.
Ooh.
The next day, he was back on the ladder and finished the roof. Stupid man.
What?
But does she enjoy their shaded area now in their backyard?
No word on that at all.